Fieldhouse Files is brought to you by GameTime, your new go-to app for the best deals on last-minute tickets. Ticket prices drop right before the game starts, and because GameTime tracks prices in real time from thousands of trusted sellers, they're able to show you the best last-minute tickets with prices up to 60% off. And Pacer fans, you'll want to take a look at all GameTime has to offer as the Pacers are at home for their next four games, one of three four-game homestands throughout the season. And I'll call your attention to next month when the Pacers host the Clippers, Boston, and the Lakers in mid-December. So to get in the door at the lowest price possible in the best seats possible, check out GameTime. The GameTime app is simple, quick, and easy to navigate. Download the GameTime app in the Google Play or App Store and score last-minute deals on tickets up to 60% off. And welcome into another episode of the Fieldhouse Files. I'm Scott Agnes. I'll do today's episode by myself, but we have several special episodes you can look forward to next week. I think that you'll enjoy, especially as maybe you're commuting, heading home, or what have you for Thanksgiving. And you may want something to tune into and catch up perhaps on this Pacer season if you've been a little bit behind because of college football or NFL or whatever. I look forward to those. If you haven't done so already, subscribe to The Athletic to get all my podcasts, all of our podcasts, and all of The Athletic content for 40% off the annual price. You want to do so by heading on to theathletic.com/fieldhousefiles for 40% off the annual rate. And on top of all that, you get access to every one of these podcasts, the Fieldhouse Files and others, ad-free. And as a guy that consumes a lot of podcasts at high speeds, and did you know? Check your settings. You can listen to these at 1.5 speed, even 2x speed. On your mobile device. That's what I do, and I definitely recommend that for you. But let's get into today's episode where we kind of go through what we've seen to this point. And it's very different than we were kind of expecting, right? Because so many different guys have been out. We really haven't been able to see and haven't been able to evaluate this team how we were expecting to this point now. So they're 8-6 through the first 3 weeks. And that's with 8 players missing a combined 51 games already. We're just a month in, and they've had those players miss a combined 51 games in all. They've won 5 of their last 7. But you look at the injury report, and it's constantly filled with guys. You go down their season-long injury report, and these are the guys that have all missed at least a game due to injury. Goga, Malcolm, Jeremy Lamb, TJ McConnell, Victor, of course, Domas, Edmund Sumner, and Miles. So those aren't even bottom-of-the-bench level guys. All of those guys would be contributors. A lot of starters among that group. Of those 8 wins, the Pacers have managed to win 5 of those games by double digits. So it's not that they're just winning, but they've won big. Now, we should put it in perspective. The Pacers had an easier schedule these first few weeks to begin the year. Now, you have to play your schedule, obviously, but they did a nice job managing through that, I think, considering all these injuries, all these makeshift lineups. They used 6 different starting lineups through the first 14 games. There's been one group that's risen above them all, and that's here in the last couple of weeks. It's been Malcolm Brogdon, Aaron Holiday, TJ Warren, Jakarr Sampson. The last guy to sign with the team has started and made a quality impact with this group, and a guy that wasn't expected to contribute a ton throughout the year, only when called upon. Well, he's been called upon, and him and Sabonis rounding out that lineup, they've gone 4-1 in the 5 games that that group has started. As we're approaching the first 20% of the season so far, I thought it'd be a good time to have a checkpoint and see where they rank statistically with some of the team categories. And through 14 games at 8-6, that's good for 6th in the East, which is about where we thought they might be, right? Probably better than maybe you could have expected due to the injuries, right? But they're ahead of Brooklyn. They're ahead of Orlando, a team they'll face Saturday. They're 6th in field goals made per game, 5th in attempts, but they're 29th in three-point attempts per game. The goal is to make 30 per game, and they're well below that at 26 per game. So that's one thing I think that'll change here once they start to get guys back, right? Because Miles, a three-point shooter, he had been out. Victor, a good three-point shooter. He has been out. A lot of this goes back to the injuries, of course. And in doing so, this is one thing that Nate McMillan's not getting hung up on. There's a lot of statistics, a lot of goals like that. Right now, they're kind of throwing them out the window, right? Because you're kind of in get-by mode, which I've written about on The Athletic. It's all about piling up wins, even if it's ugly. There'll be wins that they'll look back upon in January and February and be thankful for that they were able to take care of business, whether it was a one-point win or whether it was a double-digit win, which they've tended to do here as of late. They're shooting 82% at the foul line. That's really good. That ranks third best in the NBA. However, to the point, again, with three-point attempts, well, the same goes for free throw attempts, where they're dead last, less than 18 per game. Now, a lot of that is because this group loves the mid-range shot. A lot of it is because they're not attacking as much as they could or as much as maybe McMillan would like. It's a combination of factors. And again, it's something you can't get hung up on just yet, but you need to be ranking higher than 29th in three-point attempts and 30th in free throw attempts. I mean, ideally, if you can get in the top 15, especially with this group, then you're feeling all right. This team has taken care of the ball and done so very well. It's been an efficient team as they've turned it over less than 14 times per game. That ranks fourth behind Boston, behind Orlando, and Denver. And considering the shuffle in that backcourt too, again, that's a positive development. You have a two-way guy in Nazmi Trulong who stepped up nicely in the last several games. He's back there getting minutes at the point guard spot, and they're all taking care of the ball as a collective group. And since I brought up Nazmi Trulong, I want to go back to his story. 1 week ago, he was up in Portland, Maine. They went through shoot-around. They had a game. He was very good despite the loss. Went back to his hotel room, watched some game film, and then got a call because the Pacers had lost Brogdon. They had lost TJ McConnell as well in Houston to injuries. McConnell's was very strange, too, because it's a groin injury, and he really didn't feel it until he got on the plane and then had trouble moving and was very uncomfortable and had missed practice because of it. So that's when Naz got the call, as did Brian Bowen the second, being the G League. Those two were roommates. So the two roommates were about to go to bed around, 12:30 in the morning when they got the phone call that said, hey, pack all your stuff, jump in an Uber, go to Boston, and we've got you on the first flight back to Indianapolis because we need you. And so they did that. They hopped in Uber. I think Brian Bones said the final fare was something like $200 for the couple-hour ride over to Boston. They got on the plane at 6 a.m. It was direct. That's the good thing. Last thing you want to do after playing, after being up late, and then having to play the very next night would be not to have a nonstop flight. So they got here, got a quick nap in, but basically that was it. And I think so far in this small sample size, Nazmi Trulong has shown that he belongs. He's got the team playing much faster. I really like how much he does attack. He drives into the lanes and then kicks out. So a couple times he hit a mid-range jumper. We saw that in Brooklyn as he had his best game in a Pacer uniform. So props to him as well as Brian Bowen. He's a rookie, Bowen is. So he's only learning and trying to soak it all in. And what's funny, sad, I guess, disappointing probably for him, uncomfortable, but he makes do with it, is the fact that they don't have enough lockers at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. So for games, Brian Bowen the second is in the middle of the room with his back to the TV screen, which has their opponent's last game on it. And he's getting dressed with a counter as his locker, essentially, and just a swivel chair. Whereas everybody else has a nice locker, their own locker with their name and number on it, place to leave their stuff, charge their cell phone, etc. That just comes with the territory, and Brian Bowen, the odd man out. But he's a rookie, he's earning his place, and you got to sacrifice for 1 year, right? Weekends are made for football and basketball, and with so many college and pro teams on the slate, the DraftKings Sportsbook app can make your weekends even better. Now this weekend, there's some great matchups going on. Saturday afternoon in college football, Notre Dame takes on BC, and tomorrow night in pro basketball, Indy takes on Orlando. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app right now and use code FAST For a limited time, all new and existing users can get a deposit bonus up to $500. That's code FAST for all new and existing users to get a deposit bonus up to $500. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Indiana only. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See site for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Now, before I get into an update on the team's health, I did want to take you through an announcement that the Pacers had out at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway on Thursday morning. It was a cool event put on to simply announce and unveil their new uniforms, their new City Edition uniforms, and it's the third straight year for them to have that in conjunction with Nike, of course. And they went big on this announcement, I'll be honest. I can't imagine how many meetings the sales and marketing staffs had to put together an event like this. I know that many of the marketing staff members had gone out to IMS several times to scout it out, to design and plan ahead for this announcement. For the unveiling of the new City Edition uniforms, they had two IndyCar drivers, Oliver Askew and Charlie Kimble, sporting them, as well as two of Ed Carpenter's kids. And Ed's a big race fan. One of his best friends is Ryan Carr, the vice president of player personnel for the Pacers. They were both there. And then the highlight of the day of the announcement, for me being there at least, was the opportunity to jump in a Chevy Impala. It wasn't a Corvette. No, it wasn't a two-seater. But the chance to go in a Chevy Impala and ride around the world's greatest race course, the 2.5-mile oval, in basically 1 minute. We topped out at around 150 miles per hour, I think, hitting the turns at about 104. That's amazing. And as a kid from right here in Indianapolis who grew up going to the race, and I still go basically every year as long as there is not a Pacer conflict, that was really cool to see how hard you hit the corners. And we're going about half speed compared to those Indy cars. You can kind of envision the crowd. You see the turn two sweet. You look at the snake pit and then that turn four. And is it bad? But every time I think of turn four, I think back to the time when J.R. Hildebrand hit the wall and lost his chance to win the Indy 500. So tough for him, but that's the first thing that comes to mind for me. But it was a fun day despite the rain. The team made that announcement. No players were there, but that's because practice was going on. And, of course, there's that conflict, so it didn't happen. But how about even the mayor coming out for a jersey announcement? That even surprised me, but he has been real supportive of the sports franchises here in Indianapolis. All right, it's time to get into some of the health issues with this Pacers team and what they have been dealing with. And the list is long that I'm even having to read off of it because there's no way I can do all of this just going off the top of my head because there's too much here. And the Pacers aren't the only team that's had these injuries, right? We've seen what the Warriors are doing, and they have the worst record in the league because of health issues. New Orleans has been in the same boat. But here's what the Pacers are now dealing with. Malcolm Brogdon, the starting point guard, he's missing time due to back spasms that first caused him to leave the game early in Houston. And there in Houston, and it was a weird sight. It was between quarters after the first quarter. Brogdon put on his shooting shirt and followed head athletic trainer Josh Corbeil to the locker room. Because the trainer was there, I knew it wasn't a situation where he was using the restroom, but he didn't seem to be bothered by anything necessarily, and he had started, played well, and there didn't seem to be some big hit or illegal screen, let's say, that maybe have caused these. I even went back to the video and watched it. Did not see anything obvious there, but he has yet to practice as of Friday. Unlikely to play Saturday against Orlando. And really, with all these injuries, there's no need to rush it. So my guess is we won't see Brogdon for about another week. Jakarr Sampson has a sore back as well. That popped up in the last week. Pacers should be getting Jeremy Lamb back on Saturday against Orlando. He has not played since early in the month when he rolled his ankle while playing back in Charlotte, finished the game on adrenaline, but has not really practiced since until this week. He's gone through the last couple of days while he's officially listed as questionable. He said a couple days ago, yeah, I'm going, I'm playing, I'm back. It'll be his first game after missing seven in a row. And he's a guy that in part was signed because of his scoring ability, the opportunity for him to take on some of that offensive load with Victor expected to miss probably half the season. But he has been limited because of that injury and has not had that opportunity. TJ McConnell, probably going to be back, although he continues to deal with a groin injury, again, that he suffered in Houston. Couldn't exactly pinpoint where it happened, when it happened, but boy, it hurt him. he said, first on the plane ride, and then he couldn't quite give it a go after that. He has practiced, and I'm guessing they'll see how that is during their walkthrough Saturday afternoon. One player we finally got an update on was Edmund Sumner, a guy like Lamb, expected to take a bigger role because of Victor being out, but it's just unfortunate. He's a guy that's having trouble staying healthy. So far in his career, he came into the league and was taken in the second round. He fell that much because of injuries. He had an ACL injury, he had shoulder surgery, and he's had a couple other injuries he has continually dealt with. He missed most of summer league because of a weird foot injury that is now all right, but right now he just got his hard cast, essentially, off of his right hand and has been fitted for a soft brace. So he shot around at practice the last several days trying to get accustomed to that. He remains out but is making progress. But keep in mind, though, he had been limited in what he had been able to do. Had been off the court, still able to get his cardio in, of course, but it's very different from being able to, say, run on a treadmill or an elliptical and to stay in shape, right, versus playing basketball, versus playing in a game. So that's something I think he'll benefit greatly from, a couple more days of practice at least before maybe considering returning to the floor. The other guy we got an update on, and he's expected to be talking here once a week as he has resumed practice. That's league mandated for a player. Once they return to practice, they must talk at least once a week. And that's why we have not heard from Edmund just yet, because he hasn't gone through a practice. But Victor continues to make progress. He says he has made great strides since the last time we talked to him, which was about 2 weeks ago. During that stretch, he's been assigned to the Fort Wayne Mad Ants, that's the Pacers G League team, a couple of times, just for a day, just for him to get some reps in, because the Pacers' practice time has been minimal over the last couple of weeks due to game scheduling and such. And this week, I will say, too, they really benefited, finally, with a schedule break, and that was 4 days between games. And so Coach McMillan was generous, but also the team, the players, they badly needed some rest, right? So earlier this week, Coach gave them Tuesday and Wednesday off after their game in Brooklyn on Monday, a win. So it was good to get that win for them, get a couple days rest, and they essentially locked the gym, is how they say it. They don't even want you there lifting or doing anything. And Nate himself said that he tried to turn off from basketball for at least a day. And that's healthy for both their mind and their bodies as well to get rest. But for Victor, he continues to do more and more. He works out with his physical therapist as well as the Pacers training staff every single day. He's going full court. He's taking contact. He's driving. He's not playing with those limitations very much anymore, right? He's going the length of the floor, which has been an increase in his workload, where initially he was only limited to playing in the half court. And we should get a bigger update here coming by the end of the month. He's due to go back to his doctor and get more clearance or get an update from him. Until then, it's all basically the same. Now, in talking to us, one thing that frustrates me, and in turn it should the fans, is Victor's just been distant with his answers. We're wanting just simple updates. How are you feeling? Where have you made the most progress? And to be a little bit specific, we don't need 5 minutes on that, because in fact, he only talked 5 minutes total. But his answers, he's being evasive and everything, not really wanting to explain things. Hope this is not new and continues to be him, because he is a thoughtful guy and he's the face of the franchise. Fans deserve to hear from him and learn things when they hear from him. So it doesn't do a lot of good for him to keep fans hanging on rather than explaining what he's worked on and what he's excited about and what he's seen, those sort of things. There's no timetable. Still, December seems like a little bit early, but that's as earliest he would come back. He can expect to spend more time with the Mad Ants. They're still trying to figure out that plan, mainly because coming up, the Pacers have a 5-game road trip. So there's a combination of, is it beneficial for him to be with the team, with the training staff, be supportive of the guys? But in reality, they're not really going to practice during this week-long stretch. And Victor needs practice. He needs reps. He needs opportunities. So they might ultimately end up leaving him behind and assigning him back up with the Mad Ants to really give him an opportunity to focus on himself. The team is better with him on the floor, and so that would be the priority. So I would expect for him to get more practice time in with the Mad Ants here over these next 2 or 3 weeks. I did cut up some of the highlights from Victor's conversation with the media. Here's what he had to say.
Any timetable for you?
No timetable. I feel good though.
From watching, how crazy has it been to see just guys in and out of the lineup? You guys haven't really been able to do what you've set out to do just because of injuries.
Yeah, it's been kind of an interesting year so far as like different lineups, people getting banged up here and there, but we're staying afloat, so That's all that matters is being able to adjust to tough situations, and we've done a great job doing that, so just got to keep getting better.
How has it felt to play some full court in practice?
It feels good to go out there and just play 5-on-5 again, honestly. Just to go out there, you know, shoot a shot, make a pass, make a play, just play basketball in general. So, you know, just definitely thankful to be back out there.
How anxious are you ready? Are you ready to play? How anxious are you? I'm sorry.
Anxious, but, you know, being smart at the same time. So, yeah, of course, you know, I want to go out there and play, but I'm only going to go out there when I'm ready.
Where are you right now, like, compared to where you were last time you talked to us? Are you made significant progress?
Yeah. No, I ain't nowhere near where I was before. I'm way better than what I was when I first talked to y'all. So,
not that you're being limited or stopped from doing anything that you can't physically do at this point.
I'm not sure. We'll have to wait and see. But I don't think there's anything I can't do in life. So I guess y'all be the judge when I come back.
Ever wonder how to get the hottest new sneakers, the ones that barely hit shelves? The answer is StockX, the revolutionary new marketplace for buying and selling 100% authentic sneakers, streetwear, watches, and handbags. StockX uses the same principles as the stock market to make buying and selling as safe and as easy as possible. It provides real-time market data for intelligent buying and selling and gives you access to tons of historical price data. You can see exactly how much an item has sold for in the past and how much it's selling for now. Want in on all the hype? Check out StockX.com/B-Ball for a surprise offer that won't be around long. That's StockX.com/B-Ball. Check it out today. As I wrap up another podcast, I want to leave you with a few more thoughts. First, here's a trivia question for you. Who do you think leads the league in blocks per game and total blocks? Think about that. That's the category that Miles Turner dominated last year and led for most of the year, right? Remember, that's one big reason why he thought he deserved more respect, more attention for what he did on the defensive end, leading the league in blocks per game and total blocks. Well, so far, it's none other than Pacers rookie Goga Bitadze. Yeah, 1.8 blocks per game and 16 total leads the game. And I think with him, you're seeing his confidence grow with every opportunity. Remember, he was set back due to visa issues. He missed summer league. And then an ankle injury caused him to miss most of training camp, slowed him there even more so than just being a rookie, where you have to learn terminology. You have to learn a coach's system, learn your teammates' tendencies, and learn how to read the scouting reports of these other NBA players. But I expect to see more from him here in the coming months. And I really have liked the pairing between him and Domantas Sabonis. How about Aaron Holiday's performance in Brooklyn? Easily the best game of his career with the Pacers, and looked like things just slowed down a little bit for him. He got more comfortable with the additional playing time and more playing time with his brother Justin, who has been a great signing for the Pacers in the offseason and has really overtaken some of the role that we expected from TJ Leaf. He's a guy, probably the only guy I would say so far on this roster that has underperformed. Kind of been disappointing to this point. Where's that three-point shot we knew from college? He's good in post-up game when he can take advantage of mismatches after switches. But other than that, I'd like to see more from him. I'd like to see more rebounds. I'd like to see more on the offensive end. He's a guy that has a lot to prove in his third year here with the Pacers in the NBA. And one other thing to keep an eye on here, Nate McMillan has a winning record in coaches' challenges. It's the first year where the coaches are able to challenge one call per game, like goaltending, out of bounds, who was last to touch it, and a foul call. Well, Nate McMillan has done that. He has a winning record. And so it's a story I'm writing this week, how they decide to challenge, when is right, what would lead him to make a challenge, and those sorts of things. The one thing I will say, spoiler alert here on my upcoming story, is I'd like to see coaches, if they win a challenge, keep their challenge so they can challenge something else, because there should not be a penalty. They should not lose it if they continue to be right. Right now, it's use it and lose it. Again, the Pacers are at home for their next four games: Orlando, Memphis, Utah, and Atlanta. Then they're on the road for their next five games. And Saturday against the Magic, they're without Aaron Gordon and all-star Nikola Vucevic, a Pacers killer on Saturday because of ankle injuries they recently suffered this week. So that's an opportunity for the Pacers, who are a little bit healthier now, to take advantage. If you've made it this far on this episode of the Fieldhouse Files, I appreciate you. Thank you for your loyalty. I would appreciate if you went on Apple Podcasts and gave us a review and ranked us. That would certainly help us out. But I do appreciate your loyalty, and we'll do a upcoming mailbag Q&A as well here on the podcast so I can get some of your questions answered. I can always be reached in the comments section of one of my stories and on Twitter at Scott Agnes. If you haven't done so already, subscribe to the Fieldhouse Files podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you listen to your podcasts, we are there. And if you're listening on theathletic.com or the Athletic app, we thank you. 40% off a new subscription at theathletic.com/Fieldhouse Files. This has been another episode of the Fieldhouse Files, and I'll talk to you again next week.